Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special Weird Things Halloween edition. This is an extra episode. We did one last Sunday. There's going to be one next Sunday, but right in between it, like the gooey filling of an Oreo cookie, is this episode, this special episode. So horrifying and disgusting, though, we decided to do it as a standalone in case you didn't want to listen.
This is sort of like we're just hanging around the campfire trying to, like, normally
burn things, Brian.
Yeah, well, we burn things, but normally we just want to kind of explore crazy ideas. That's not the goal this time, is it? We want to make you squirm, right?
Well, we want to tell the things that make us squirm.
Yes, like being haunted by the ghost of Charles G. Dawes or Charles Curtis. It's all the vice presidents come back from the dead. Thomas A. Hendricks, Levi P. Morton,
by the way,
Hobart. They've all risen. Spooky Halloween vice presidents.
I thought for sure that you were giving names of our patrons over at patreon.com/weirdthings. I didn't realize those were vice presidents.
Oh.
This special edition brought to you by our Patreon at patreon.com/weirdthings. So far, 221 of you guys have stepped forward and say that we're worth a few pennies per episode, and that is awesome, and we want to work harder for you. Thank you.
And they say that if you listen very closely on a still evening, you can hear Charles W. Fairbanks say, patreon.com/weirdthings.
So this is the way I figured it would work. I asked each of you a while ago to think of some story, something cringy, something horrifying, or whatever that happened to you that we would share with the audience.
I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm going to confess that I'm almost certain mine will be the weakest of the stories because it's more of a medley. I just thought of mental Rolodex of horrifying things I've seen.
Knowing Andrews, mine is very cerebral. Andrews is very physical. So Brian, why don't you start us out?
I guess I'll start off with visceral. There are times in our lives that you just find yourself dealing with real stuff happens from time to time. When I was 8 years old, it was on my 8th birthday. I've got a fabulous scar on my ankle. I'm holding it up for the audio video viewers that don't exist, but it looks like it's in the shape of an L right now, and it's there because I. It was a birthday, like eight years old. And I remember discovering a cocoon and being 8 year old boys. We were like, let's cut that open, bro. I want to know what's in there. And so, Chris Lyday was his name, went inside and got a fishing knife, this little, like a paring knife. And, we were cutting, once you cut open it up, you're like, oh, it's just mush in there. Boo. What next? It's like, well, then let's make a game of just dropping a knife onto the ground repeatedly. And you kind of hold it up high and then drop it. You're like, oh, totally went in the ground. And you hold it up high and went on the ground again.
That's how Pogs was invented, right?
Yeah, but pretty much, right? And then
prison Pogs, they call it.
And then one of those times, hey, we're doing the dropping game again. Only this time, it seems to have amazingly... The knife came down and just exactly, it did not cut through my sock. It slid between, this is the way I remember it, between my shin and the sock and went down. I was like, what a lucky catch. That's amazing.
I'm like a pirate with a knife in my boot.
That's incredible. And then there's that moment, and this happens like in moments of physical trauma. Yeah, I'm showing the scar to the guys right now. But you have that moment where it's like you want to know what's up, so you pull open the sock and you just see blood gushing everywhere, and so you walk inside, and it's funny, it's funny how immediately practical people become in a medical emergency, right? So it's like I walk, I am walking, and I'm like, I don't know what this means. I pull out the knife and drop it on the ground, And it's like immediately, you know, literal duct tape. Just the Chris's dad grabbed my ankle, shoved it closed, zip, 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 and we off we got. And I got stitches. And it, you know, it's a good gnarly, like, I don't know, 3-inch long scar. And you would think that that would be the only knife dropping onto my body causing stitches stories that I have, right? But then. Well,
you do eat fire for a living, so I'm going to say no.
It turns out, like...
Exactly. This is Chekhov's leg scar. You know, it's going to have to pay off.
So, I... 20 years later, I'm
20... To the day!
Maybe, I don't know. 20 years later, I'm 29 years old. 21 years later, screw you. Jason Murphy had written a short movie called Lucidity that I got to pretend to be an actor with, and it was made for $20 and a taco, and it was a cute little horror flick we did. But this one was a Western in which there's a character that basically just needs to torture the hell out of another guy to get something out of him. So I get dressed up in long johns that are, and I just douse fake blood all over my body. Because that's what the scene says, you know, fingers get cut off and all this stuff. And, this is so dumb. And now that I've had a taste of television production, I know that grown-ups do not bring actual knives on set. But we so brought actual knives on set. And the moment caused for Jason to lean over me and to look like he's cutting off fingers or whatever. And then in between takes, he would take the knife and he would put it in his belt loop, you know, hooked into his belt, and then, you know, stand up and go again. Well, one of these times, and again, he's got my arm twisted around my back because he's holding me down, ostensibly torturing me. I'm covered, dressed in overalls. Also, should be mentioned that we shot this at Pedernales Falls State Park without a permit. We just sort of figured, let's see. And the space that we got to involved us like crossing the river at some point or whatever. We get there and we think everything's going to be good. And
just to give people context, I think I remember you telling the story before. That's where Predators was shot, right?
Yes.
The remake of... that came out a few years ago.
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, that was a very odd moment when they're on an alien planet, and then the next scene, they're like almost literally in my backyard, where it's like I rode my bike there, he is standing up for like our third or fourth take on this, and the belt loop slides gets just enough slack that the knife falls through, and in an unbelievable coincidence lands again 20 years later, I find myself the victim of a knife being dropped onto my body. And then that's where you guys, I'll show it on the live stream at some point, but I have a pretty sweet scar. I'm going to show it to these guys just so that they can get a context for it. But like, even now it was 7 stitches, and the weird part was the walk back from the shoot. So it's like, at this point, it's like, okay, we got to go to the emergency room. So I'm walking along covered in fake blood, also real blood, holding my thing. And all I could think of, as you know, Andrew, turns out fingers are important to magicians, right? And I knew that something was very wrong because I have everything closed off, but my thumb feels odd and weird. And it's like, I don't know. I'm like, did I just sever a nerve? Am I going to be one of these guys that can't feel this thing anymore? And we're walking around the corner, and there's this old couple, like maybe in their 60s, backpacking. And it occurs to me that we might be a bit of a sight. And so I own the interaction. The moment we turn around, I lock eyes with them, put on the whitest grin I can, as I'm holding my actually wounded hand covered in blood, made to look like I was just tortured. I grin. I'm like, morning, beautiful day, right? And then to continue to talk to them as I pass, they're like, just heading off to the hospital, and off we go. And by the way, to this day, it's still like the thing on my foot, I don't notice anything about, but weirdly, my thumb pressure makes sense with the nerves, and pain makes sense, but a gentle caress on this nerve tendril just feels weird. It feels like if you gently do it, it feels like everything's all pins and needles. And I guess that's it for knives falling on my body. And then the only other thing I want to talk about is I think did we talk about me watching a guy get run over by a car a couple months ago?
We did on Night Attack. I don't think we've talked about it on Weird Things.
Yeah. Long story short, I'm navigating for, ironically, Jason Murphy, the same man who 10 years before had dropped a knife onto my wrist. And he's driving, I'm navigating, and I hear him say, oh God, no! And I look up just in time to see a roughly human-shaped form tumble out from underneath an SUV, and I immediately called 911. Jason was the hero of the story. He's the one who got the guy's contact information, contacted his wife, made sure he was present and alert all the way through. I experienced Los Angeles 911 hold time music being played. Thank you for calling 911. Your call is extremely important to us. Please continue to wait and we'll get to your emergency. But man, looking at that dude's body, I've forgotten, thankfully, / scrubbed most of the details, but the one that sticks with me, line that I said later was, I took just enough medical school to know that you should not be able to make the letter U beneath your knee. And that's what I saw. Like, bone sticking out. It was in the shape of a U. And the weirdest part was after they got him out, you know, emergency services showed up and they got him out. There was blood on the road. And so they took a water fire extinguisher, you know, and just sort of spraying it, and this pink foam starts to just roll towards me, and it just pools around my
feet. For audio listeners, Justin and I, our eyes are clenched.
Pink foam.
We're just out here.
It was the pink foam. It was the practicality of it. It's like, well, that's what you do is you clean up, right? And it happened to pool around my feet and Jason's feet. And then we're like, so you want to go shoot a TV show today, Jason? And that's what we did with the rest of our day.
Tell them what you had to shoot though.
I don't think this is giving anything away. The scene that we were shooting was a hilarious, wacky party scene. And so it's like imagine
having to pick up the chicks.
Yes, exactly. Imagine going from that stain on your brain and having to go enact basically like a Budweiser frat commercial.
Yeah.
You're here's how to have the craziest party ever.
You ever seen a man make a curly Q straw out of his leg? I have. Anyway, what's your number?
I guess the only other stain on my brain thing that I can think of is driving through Montana and seeing this gorgeous, majestic, giant rack deer jumping peacefully in the big sky country, the blue sky up above. And it just goes galloping across the highway right in front of me. And I think, oh, man, nature. This is what's great about being on the road is you get to see stuff like that. And then it kept going into the opposite lane where it got nailed right in the face, did four flips, shot shit everywhere, just sprayed everywhere. And then it just collapsed and the car ended. And that entire moment, and then, of course, you know, you're driving 80 miles an hour. So it's like the moment's over, but the stain remains. That's the other place that stains. And I thought that was the worst stain on my brain until I watched the letter U get made.
Oh. So, Brian, for your installment, we can call it Pink Foam.
Pink Foam.
The double-edged blade of fate.
The letter W. The letter U.
Yes. I like Pink Foam because it's like, where is this going?
Yeah, no, that's definitely mine.
Pretty good. All right, now do we want to go to another? Because I know there's more bloody body horror that awaits us with Andrew's story. Mine is a little bit less graphic, so I think I'll go with mine. I think we need this.
I need a moment to wrap my mind around. Oh, you made me relive all those moments.
So one of the scariest places I ever knew as a kid was someplace I never went to. But as kids do, we kind of built this mythology around a building. In Hollywood, Florida, there's a public park called Yugni Park.
T.Y. Park.
The locals. Which was right next to it. Was within like a minute and a half walking distance from where I grew up in South Florida. So I would walk there all the time. Me and the neighborhood kids would go there and we'd play and, you know, it'd be a fun time. Ride bikes. It's a big place. So in the back, there is a huge abandoned warehouse, or at least it was at the time. I have no idea what they've done with it now. But it was just a big concrete warehouse that whenever you kind of like walk up to it, it just seemed sort of abandoned. And so kids, obviously, you know, you want to test your mettle and see who's a chicken. And so it was like, hey, I bet you won't go in there. And then it became, oh, well, you can't go in there because of the rats, because there's rats all over the place.
Oh, God. Now, is this somebody like making up an excuse for why he won't go in there? Or
who knows where it started, right?
Okay.
But it just started creepy building. Can't go in there because of the rats. All right. Well, why are there rats?
And by the way, we all have our things that we're weirded out by, right? For me, it's blood, which is why I can't handle like flipping channels and seeing open heart surgery. But are you a rat scaredy person? Does rats do it for you?
I mean, not any more particularly than just, I don't know, like general feral animals running after me do, you know, like they're, it's not like rats are just a particularly gross thing. But it was just a reason why you weren't supposed to go there. So then it becomes, why are there rats? Well, because there's a skeleton in there and the rats have eaten the body. And then, now again, you know that this is kid logic because no one's leaving a corpse in the
first
back.
First of all, it's apparently park. It's not kid logic. It's Stephen King logic because they wrote a movie about your experience called Stand By Me.
Well, again, no one saw this body, right? And it goes from there because then at some point, the skeleton became the center of this warehouse, which, unbeknownst to us at the beginning of this tale, was imbued with such mystical power because the skeleton then became, when kids would talk about it, sat in the back of the warehouse and you would have to go and walk up to the skeleton and it would sit almost throne-like in the back of this warehouse, right? And so the challenge was that kids would tell each other is that you have to stay in the park after it closes, which was like sunset for a public park, sneak into this warehouse and then like walk through the warehouse. Skeleton was sat up like on a chair and touched the skeleton. And that is what truly made you a man.
So, okay. It seems to me that people would walk inside, wait a few seconds, then walk out and then say, totally saw it, man. It's majestic on that throne. I touched that knee and it whispered at me. Like, it seems like there's no, in the game theory of this, it seems like you should double down on building up the legend and claim that you did the thing.
I am not sure if anyone even attempted to go there. And yet this myth continued to grow because part of it is like, you know, we're 10 or 11 years old, something like that. And it would involve like staying inside of a park, right? Like after all the rangers close it up and then sneaking out of it, which would probably require some kind of preparation of either like cutting the fence or jumping over because there was barbed wire on the fence surrounding it. Then it gets even stranger because it's not just about touching a dead body and then coming back. It became about the crown that was on top of the skeleton's head.
Oh, you wanted to steal the skeleton king's crown.
And it was, yes, it was now, it went from walking into an abandoned warehouse or there was rats there to a full and mystically imbued, powerful golden crown that was laying upon a skeleton's head. And then at that point, it started to become, well, the only way that you can go and see it is at night. Because it's not there during the day.
All of a sudden, you guys are destroying the Lich King. You have to steal the crown jewel. It's the Thomas Crown Affair, except with a skeleton.
And of
kind
course,
of a Last Crusade vibe too.
Yeah,
it's very, very Last Crusade-y. Because the idea is,
by the way, real quick, Justin. Like, this is so how Hollywood Andrew Main has become, that he immediately speaks in mashups, metaphors, a little bit of like he's pitching this to us. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes. They and we kind of it became, you can't, one does not simply walk and grab the skeleton and keep King's crown. Like, there were elements of like booby trapped, like things that you would have to get past to get to the skeleton to grab his crown.
So wait, there's like people have written into the lore at this point that like you have to spell out the name of God as you hopscotch across these things.
I mean,
otherwise, yes,
but it would just be one of those things where the kid, where you'd be like, well, yeah, I mean, it's a good thing I'm fast, right? Because I'd be able to get past, you know, the barriers, you know, when they pop up, like. It is, and again, nobody ever tried it. It's not like anybody ever stayed in the park afterward to go do it, or anybody ever bragged about it. It just kind of became this feedback loop amongst all of us on what it was, why we needed to go there, and the dangers inherent in all of it.
So, okay, obviously this story touches you in some particular way, right? Did you go in?
No, none of us. It was something that you look back on and you're
Brian,
just.
There's a ghost skeleton in there. Are you stupid?
No, Brian, I'm not that fast. I was kind of a chubby kid at the time. You think I'm going to make it past the barriers?
All right, no.
Darts. There's a skeleton king.
real quick. Like, did you consider actually going in and making that happen? Did you think like maybe I got the goods? I have what it takes in order to infiltrate this.
This is like the Goonies. The kid's like, well, I guess we're moving.
Yeah.
This is our skeleton king.
I never did. I was always a real big fraidy pants, scaredy nerd.
I made a secret society. That same kid that was there, Chris Lyday. I wonder whatever happened to him. We
died trying to get the skeleton king crown. Man, with Florida,
please don't make that true. There's a weird time when you're a kid that you think that wishing certain things can cause them to become true, and I remember just wishing that I had psychic powers. Like, that was a real thing. And like Chris Lyday was the same way. We would do all these tests and we would hope really hard to, you know, get these hits. I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is, like, I could totally see building a mythology.
You're still figuring out how the world works at that point. And, you know, you don't have enough experience to say, no, this isn't real. And everything is still scary and new to you.
I mean, that was as feasible as student loan interest to me. You know, the fact that there's a skeleton king with a mystical golden crown was made about as much sense as a lot of stuff that is a part of my daily adult life. So, you know, that's one thing when we were talking about childhood trauma. That is something that I remember staying up late at night thinking about. The skeleton king and his golden crown.
So, here's the thing. Like there was always like a low level, even as we talked about our psychic powers and our tests of whether or not we had X, Y, or Z powers. There's this moment that at the end of the day, I, I wanted to believe, but I think in my heart I didn't really believe. Like, did you full on believe, or do you just wanted to?
No, it was just real enough, you know. And it would be, you know, you would walk through, or you'd be biking through, biking through TY Park, and you're just talking to your friends, and it's like, hey, we're just a bunch of fun kids having a great time. Oh man, I'll tell you what, nothing could be better than the amazing time we're having as 10-year-old boys biking in TY Park.
By the way, there's nothing that undercuts like scary, like jaunty ragtime copyright free music.
Listen, you're walking, and then all of a sudden, on your right, there's that abandoned warehouse.
And what are you feeling at that moment? Oh my God, God. There's a skeleton king in there. It's got a crown.
A crown of gold.
Man, if somebody could get that crown, I bet they'd be rich forever. Man,
then you keep bouncing and or you keep biking and then.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, serious question. Would you consider like making a trip to go back there and face experience that place as a full ass adult?
I'm going to South Florida for Thanksgiving. I will make a promise that I will go at least see what is there, because I kind of like that park's gotten a bit of money in it, I think, since I was growing up, so they might have done something with that.
We
build.
Could you connect you with Loogie? He might have a way in or a way to.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I honestly think that yes, we all know it's not haunted. Yes, there's very likely not a skeleton king wearing a golden crown.
Speak
there
for yourself, bro. I already peed myself.
I'm just saying. But wouldn't that be fun if all of us found something from our childhood that resonated like this mythos, and we re-experienced it as grown ass adults? I would love to do that. I think we should.
I will almost guarantee that the building that we made such a big deal about in our heads is a literal tool shed. Like, it is just a place where they keep riding mowers.
All right. It sounds to me like of the three of us, you've got the best story, Andrew.
Oh, I can't top Skeleton King, that's for sure. So, not too far from TY Park, by the way.
Florida. Freaking Florida.
Rand Woodbury. Good magician, guy. Illusionist, neat guy. He's a guy that helped me get my start performing on cruise ships. Rand had this warehouse, and I met Rand when I was a teenager, and I used to go help him build props and build stuff in his warehouse. And when I was out in this part area of land in Davie, Florida, near where Justin grew up, but this was like kind of little kind of outskirts of Davie where you could kind of do anything you wanted and nobody cared. Like, Rand sold his house to a guy, and you would drive along the highway, and you'd see a 10-foot-tall pink poodle, because this guy turned it into a poodle farm. It was like Dewey's Pink Poodle Farm. And so you go knock on the door, and they'd be, yap, 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 and this guy with like a Vincent Price mustache and a pink vest would open up, and like, you want a poodle? But before it was Dewey's Pink Poodle Farm, Rand Woodbury had it.
I really want to picture it as actually Vincent Price. Like, you want a poodle?
A poodle. Well, before that, when it was Rand's Magic Warehouse, Rand had his own wildlife. In the back, there was a cage, a double-walled cage, because inside of there, he had a cougar, a mountain lion, that he used in his act until it became too nasty, right?
Hold on, real quick. You know more about this than I do. I understand that there's a lot of creatures that are likable and lovable, and then they hit adolescence and turn nasty. I know that there's only so long you can work with an orangutan or so on. Like, that's the case with cougars, is that they turn nasty at some point?
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, I mean, they're a strong predator. I mean, a cougar weighs as much as a guy can take you out, or more than a man. So I can go do a whole episode on this cat. I mean, this cat life started off, Rand inherited him because it was chained to an engine block down in the port of Miami, abandoned by a drug dealer.
Oh my God, that's such a drug dealer thing to do.
Rand got a call from like cops, like, do you want a big cat for your show?
This is full on Archer stuff, man. Like Archer just decides he wants a cougar and he has a cougar, and then he's like, ah, this is dumb. I'm gonna chain it to this block.
Again, this is the life of Rand. So I'm getting to the story where I'm in Rand's warehouse helping him move some stuff. There's about thunderstorms coming in. We're trying to move some boxes and stuff. It gets kind of tight there. I bump into something, and a tripod, big heavy tripod, comes down, sails an inch past my ear, and then hits the floor. I look at Rand. I make a joke. I go, man, I almost went out like Bob Crane. Okay? Quick little sidebar. Bob Crane, star of Hogan's Heroes, played by Greg Kinnear in the movie, had a penchant for making X-rated films with women that sometimes were maybe the wives of other men. Bob Crane met his demise when somebody beat him to death with a tripod.
Oh, my God.
Okay? So, obscure little reference there, me and my little mouth. Like, I almost met mine like Bob Crane. Rand looks at me. Hold on,
but before you get to the punchline of this story, I need to impress upon everybody the whimsical nature that is Rand Woodbury. Rand is a bouncing bubble of a human being, not necessarily in his demeanor, but he just has this imagination and tone of voice. He has a very distinct speaking pattern that is just amazing to be around.
Every time I leave a restaurant, I thank the people who worked there. I say, hey, thank you. I got that from Rand. Rand is just a guy who walks into a room, says he's super nice to everybody. Rand's this very happy, fun guy to be around. His father is Woody Woodbury. He was a great comedian, still is. So Rand comes from this, just Rand's just a super positive guy. I make my little Bob Crane joke. Rand's face goes slack. He goes, why would you say that? I go, what do you mean?
And it says, you're like, at this point, you feel the need to explain the joke. You're like, oh, well. Oh,
Brandon says, Bob Crane was like an uncle to me. He used to come by the house when I was a little boy. Because Brandon grew up in L.A.
You're like, you are the son. Woody Woodbury is a legendary comedian. And you're like, and was known as like an adult comedian before all comedy on some level became adult. Like he was a trailblazer in the medium. So you think, well, I mean, come on, comedy royalty, son of comedy royalty. You of all people should get that. Except he's son of comedy royalty who was brought up on some level by the man who you are referring to as
died a horrible gruesome death.
He's just hurt. He's just like, why would you talk about that?
I'm like, Rand, I'm like, never in a million years. How would I even know this? How could I even know this? So anyhow, a little while later, we're moving something around, and I go, oh, I got this thing. I go pick up this big, huge case, slips out of my hands. This is where I'm getting to. This big, huge case, this big anvil case, which God knows could be magic props, iron, could be nails, could be anything, slams down on my foot. Now, I'm dressed like Florida casual, which means
You're wearing an Indian casino T-shirt and flip-flops.
Flip-flops, definitely wearing the flip-flops. Case comes crashing down. Okay, now I'm going to tell you this right now.
Oh, geez.
At the end of this story, I'm going to undo my shoelaces. I'm going to take off my shoe and I'm going to remove my sock. And I'm going to let you see if you choose. All right.
Mean as a metaphor. You mean like kind of like I showed you my actual scar.
Yeah, I'm going to show you something. Okay. So this case comes slams down onto my toe.
How long ago was this?
This is over 10 years ago.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the context.
Slams down on my toe, right? Full force, several hundred pounds right on there, then black little wedge on there. I go from intense pain to nothing because it's just all the nerves has just been collapsed, whatever. I'm like, I got to step away. You feel that little spidery tingle going all the way up my ankles to my calves to my thighs, just that intense, I go walk away. I go look down. And my toe,
no,
starting to swell. Right
now, which toe?
My left toe, my left big toe.
Left
right,
big toe. Okay.
Left big toe is starting to swell. It's starting to turn purple. It gets a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. It gets maybe golf ball size.
So you're like watching this happen, right?
Oh yeah, watching this thing happen, and just the little waves of pain, and now it's the size of a fat, raw, ripe plum. Okay,
oh.
Now. I can barely walk. I have to walk on my heel. I'm like, I got to go home. Somehow now, I make it home.
Are there people there that you feel like you have to impress? Is there a reason you're not whimpering and crying?
I go home. I go home. I somehow manage to make it home. I go home and I watch this thing. But this is the interesting thing, Brian. My toe starts to swell so much. My toenail looks tiny on it. My toenail looks tiny. And I notice something on the edge of the toenail. It's starting to rip apart from the skin.
Okay.
Now the toenail underneath it, the skin's totally dark purple, reddish purple. And there's like edges of blood coming out from where the toenail was pressed into my flesh. Okay. Toenail starts to swell. And I go home, I wash it off. I don't know what to do with it. I don't think it's broken, but it's so numb I can't even tell, right? The next day, I look down. The toe is still swollen. The nail, though.
That night, you sleep. Like functionally, you've got this swollen.
I take a ton of Tylenol, right?
Okay. I put it
under a sock, and I don't even want to look at my toe.
Yeah, so I assume you like you sleep with your foot hanging off the side of the bed, yeah, so it doesn't
put inside
hit
a
anything.
Sock, hang off the bed. I wake up the next morning, my sock, the white sock, is covered in blood. All right. I pull off the sock. To touch the toenail is like a button for pain. I pull off the sock and I look and I feel something as they slide the sock past the toenail. Toenail's loose, Brian. The whole toenail is a little bit loose. I can actually peer underneath the edge and see this black mass in there. I pick up the toenail. Intense pain, Brian, as I move that toenail, right? Now, torturing people through toenails, removing toenails, fingernails, is considered one of the worst forms of punishment you can imagine. I'm watching my toenail get looser and looser and looser. The edge, the skin.
Do you know that this is biologically a thing that could happen at this point, or are you Seth Brundle, like experiencing?
I have no idea. I'm Brian
in front of you.
Stay with me. I have no idea what's about to happen. Okay, this was really internet looking up. I don't know what's about to happen to me. Okay, all I know is my toenail is very, very loose. Right. And it gets to the point where I can pick it up a little bit, right? And they can see some blood inside of there. And then I get to the point where I can pull the toenail half off, right?
Just for the record, like, I swear to God, I've had this exact nightmare. This and the nightmare where I watched Tom Merritt accidentally pour acid on his hands and his fingers melted off. And I remember being very sad for Tom Merritt. And I was like, you don't seem to have hands anymore. He's like, well, that's how it goes. Like this is the level of nightmare territory that you are saying happened to you for reals.
Toenail is now loose. I'm only keeping the toenail on to protect what's underneath there. Now it's almost, there's just little tendrils of skin holding onto it. I can lift the toenail up. I can look inside of there. This, Brian, this is the horrifying thing. It's bloody. I know I got to pour hydrogen peroxide in there. I lift up the toenail. What is underneath your big toenail at this point, Brian? What do you see underneath there when you look?
I would imagine pink, healthy skin and a delightful disposition.
A cavity, a dark, dark cavity, Brian.
Oh no!
It wasn't just there's like, it's just toe and this thing's glued on like a Lee press-on nail. There was this space underneath there where I could probably fit several jelly beans in there. I could have stored stuff in there.
Wait a minute. So you peel back the manhole of your big toe. And you look down and see the service port underneath.
There's a space, there's a gash. I don't know if the flesh got pressed in or whatever. So now I look at this. I have this fear of infection. So imagine me in the bathroom with my foot up on top of the counter, looking into this hole, this bowl in the top of my toe, taking hydrogen peroxide and pouring it into it like a bloody toe volcano. Okay. Take the final toenail. The last part of the toenails.
Toe Volcano is my favorite wrestler name.
Now, the only reason I even have the toenail is just held on by the thinnest little tendril down. The only reason I keep it there is because it's a hard shell protecting this thing that's going underneath it, right? I would wash it with hydrogen peroxide. I'd clean it out. I'd put that toenail back. Then I'd put a condom over my toe.
Do something. Duct tape, packing tape, whatever it takes.
Finally, the toenail comes completely free, Brian. And I'm looking at something.
Yeah, Okay, like at that point, don't you just like for ceremonial purposes, if nothing else, just keep like toenails belong on toes. And even if it's like this toenail's dying wish would be to remain with the toe that it served.
I tried to keep it on my toe as long as I could, but there was a point where it just got loose and it would just wiggle free against the little skin hanging onto it. It'd be like it'd slide between my other toes and I'd feel it in there. I just had to yank it free. I pulled it, that little bit of skin stretch, and snapped, and the toenail came free. So then I take that toenail, and I go into my brother's room, and I put it on his dresser.
Okay, by the way, first of all, number one, why has the words emergency room not happened? Why is it your brother's room that you're going to not...
There's nothing that can be done. What can they do, Brian? All right.
So you put your toenail on your brother's dresser.
I left the toenail on my brother's dresser, forgot about that, and then like a day later I get my brother go, "What the hell is this? Is this some voodoo curse you're trying to set on me?"
Okay, first of all, I'm not going to ding you on the weirdness of doing that with your brother. I had a tooth that fell out when I was in high school and I held on to and then gave to someone. I had, when I was away at camp, I had like a 2-inch long goatee that I cut off and dropped in the mail and sent to my girlfriend at the time, Bonnie. And she, with no explanation, so she just opens and finds curly hairs, blonde curly hairs in there. So it's like, I don't blame you for any of that, but I don't understand the part where you don't go to the emergency room. Are you just convinced?
I'm going to tell you why. Why I didn't go to the family doctor. Our family doctor's a nice guy, amiable guy, lived in the neighborhood. I saw him one night on late night television selling magnetic bracelets.
Oh, geez. Wait, so even then, 10 years ago, you're just like, well, he's out.
Yeah, it was more than 10 years. Yeah, I'm like, this guy I have no faith in whatsoever. No faith whatsoever. So I decided I'd take care of it myself. I would just keep pouring hydrogen peroxide and keep it clean. So I put it inside. So now the toenail's gone. Now I have raw toe with just this recess. And I put that condom over it. And I don't know how long of a process it was. But finally, you know, I felt, you know, well enough to not have to do that anymore. And gentlemen, would you like me to take off my
tuna?
Let's go. The big reveal.
Hey, real quick, my daughter just walked into the room. Penny, come over here. I want you to speak
on
mic.
Oh, God, no! No, Brian, send her out! Send her out!
I'm going to ask her if she wants to see or not. Hey, Penny, here's the thing. A long time ago, our friend Andrew Main had a very heavy box dropped on his toe. It messed up his toe and got all inflamed and swollen, and eventually the toenail fell off. That's how bad it was. By the way, Halloween. Happy Halloween, sweetheart. Tomorrow's Halloween, so we're all kind of telling gross out stories. For example, this, I don't know if I ever told you about this scar right here. That's from a knife that dropped on Dad. But Andrew was about to show what the toe ended up looking like 10 years later. Do you want to see it? Because we kind of would love to hear your response. You kind of would not like to see it?
Sounds disgusting.
Well, it sounds disgusting. Is it disgusting, Andrew? Like, do
just
women...
Just go. Dude, listen. Come Penny, on. You have 3 seconds. Welcome to adulthood. You make your choice.
All right, she's ready. Wait, let's go. Let's do this.
You have to understand.
To show. Right?
You're pouring hydrogen peroxide into this hollow, this black hollow, fleshy hollow, right?
All right. You're going to scare Penny out of looking, all right? Penny right now, she's sitting there. She has her back turned to the screen. She's waiting patiently with a half smile
Andrew's
on her face.
Turning down his webcam. We are on his foot.
We're seeing some Chuck Taylor
Converse.
All-Stars. Yep. It's becoming unlaced, and Penny, I think you could look.
I'd like
this
to
one.
Remind
There's
everybody
really
at this point, Patreon.com/weirdthings.
Patreon.
You need to go to support.
Yeah, no, it's just a sock, right? There's nothing weird about that. Here, keep watching.
He's peeling the sock off right, his
see,
foot.
See.
We now
see
everything.
Oh,
but
we see this
toe.
Little piggy went to the market. This little piggy. Oh, it's fine. Wait.
Is that a gigantic flap of skin on top of it?
It looks like a thumb with like extra. Penny, do us a favor. First of all, let us see that better, Andrew. Penny, describe what you're seeing right now. What kind of toe are you seeing? And is there anything unusual about it?
Yes. It's really skinny at the base.
It's skinny at the base. And
I have monkey feet, just so you know.
Yeah. First of all, also, Andrew is a member of the same club I am, where your second toe is longer than your first. Congratulations. It looks comically pancake flat. Like, if I was making a cartoon, this is how I would end it after a safe.
It does. It has a Toontown quality to it.
I'm going to compare it, though, to the other one.
All right. Here we go. So we're looking at them side by side.
It's
first of all, like,
kind of longer?
Yeah, dude. You've got, like, long, skinny
thumb
toes.
Oh, no. Look, it's stunted compared to the other one.
It's okay. One of them looks like a finger, the other looks like a toe. Your normal toe looks like a big toe. Your weird toe looks
skinny.
Like,
that's what it's skinny at the base. That's what.
Guys, unfortunately, I tell you what. With this big reveal, I gotta get out of here. That is truly a horror story.
Well, for the audio listeners, which is everybody, it's you wouldn't notice there was really a difference between my toes unless I told you what happened. The toenail grew back. It grew back completely. At the base of that little hollow, there was like something that looked like a shell or a bead, and that was where the toenail factory was.
I guess that's what I thought was going to be a story of horrific disfigurement. Turns out to be a story of triumph and rebuilding.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the other, it's actually a very normal looking toe when you're in person, but on camera it looks weird. But it's just the shape of the nail is a little bit different because it did completely come out and had to regrow as an adult.
Well, regardless, man, that's some terrifying Seth Brundle stuff that you had to go through, man.
Brundlefly.
All right, guys. Well, that about wraps it up for this edition of the special Weird Things Halloween episode. Thanks for everybody for listening and help us out on the Patreon if you can.
Thanks to all of our patrons. Tomorrow I'm going to experience the most terrifying Halloween I've ever experienced and really excited about growing this and making it a real gig for us, guys.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yes.
All right, guys.
How's it been?
It's been weird.